To Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, the Comfort Zone Challenge. We all like to be comfortable, but sometimes the pursuit of comfort leads to being stuck. Let us help you or someone you love get unstuck. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we are issuing the Comfort Zone Challenge. Well, what do I mean by that? We all like to be comfortable, right? I mean, speaking for myself, I like to be comfortable.
Oh, it's one of my favorite conditions to be in.
Unfortunately, sometimes that pursuit of comfort can lead to us being stuck in certain situations. We get used to putting up with something, even though we either know we shouldn't, or we really don't like it, or it's not serving us very well in our life or relationships, and so we end up getting stuck. And so the Comfort Zone Challenge is all about knowing when to challenge your comfort zone and step out of that little bubble that we like to live in so that we can make the changes that will help us be more joyful, live a more peaceful life, have more satisfying relationships. So we're asking you, are you, or someone you care about, feeling stuck in a rut in some area of your life or relationships? Do you feel like you need to make a change, address a problem, or resolve a conflict, but you just don't know where to start? Maybe you've been dealing with something for so long you're not sure it can change, or maybe someone you care about seems stuck and you're not sure how to support them. Let us help. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you break out of that bubble that keeps you stuck in an unpleasant, albeit comfortable-ish, place. 877-573-7825.
Well, then that is an interesting, you know, thing to have to sift out anyway, right? What is comfort that is good for us? Perhaps over the last year we've discovered some things about the way we live that makes us feel better, makes us feel more comfortable, like spending more time with our family or doing more things at home, and then suddenly everybody's saying, okay, go back to your old life, you know, the work all the time, you know, rush around like a maniac kind of life, and you're thinking...
The new old normal.
I can't even keep up with that. But, you know, maybe you're saying, well, now, wait a minute. What parts of the comfort zone I've discovered in the last year do I want to keep, and how do I do that when there's all this pressure to go back to everything else? Perhaps it's, you know, here's summer, and you've got people home again, but the virtual school and the crazy back and forth school and whatever it was school is gone. And you're thinking, how do we have a comfortable, wonderful summer that isn't just bleh, isn't just, you know, bleh.
Oh, my. Okay.
You know, just falling into like the malaise, or even back to kids, you know, being super busy and not getting that time together. Maybe it's a place of comfort zone where you've just felt like, you know, we've all been saying, oh, well, we put on so much weight this year and we've done this or we've done that. And you're thinking, well, I should do X, Y, and Z, but how do I get there? But maybe it's the real where we need to get out of the mundane comfort zone that we live in. We've been dealing with the same patterns in our marriage, the same patterns in our behaviors, the same patterns in our family life. And we know something's got to change, but we're a little nervous about that. We don't know how to change it. We don't know how to begin. We don't want to deal with the strife and the conflict of it. But we know that the Holy Spirit's prompting us to do something. And so we want to get out of that quote-unquote comfort zone that really is just about inertia.
877-573-7825 is the number to call. Lisa, you asked the question early on, you know, when is comfort good and when is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important question to answer right up front. Comfort is good when it restores our energy, mm-hmm. when it helps us refocus, when it enables us to gather our resources and move forward, right? But comfort becomes settling when we end up feeling suffocated or powerless or stuck in that quote-unquote comfort zone. Settling is not comfort. It's allowing the enemy to suffocate us and rob us of the joy, the peace, and the abundance that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. And so what we're really talking about today here is not, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone and making yourself uncomfortable. What we're really saying is it's time to stop settling and stop being stuck. And if you feel like there's some part of your life where you've just gotten used to settling in your life or relationships, or someone you care about is settling, and you're not sure how to deal with that, how to approach that concern, address that issue, deal with that problem, face that challenge, we are here to help you get unstuck and stop settling. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think that, you know, a word that God kind of brought to my mind was inertia, right? There's a difference between, as you said, the comfort that gives us refreshment, love, togetherness with people, a connection to ourselves and to God. And then there's sort of the inertia we've fallen into. Oh, we always handle things financially this way, and it causes X, Y, and Z problem in our life or our marriage. Oh, we always deal with the kids this way, and everything explodes, and then I have to spend 2 days putting myself back together after I've exploded on the kids. Oh, we've always handled our in-laws this way, and yes, it drives us crazy, but you know, what can you do? When we feel powerless, that's an inertia that Satan's enjoying and dancing around us about. Oh, we've taken away all your power to do anything good for you or for God or to connect with the Holy Spirit. Comfort is something that comes from God where we feel connected to Him. We feel like we're doing what He's asked us to do, where we've accomplished the little things in the day that He's asked us to do or even the big ones, and we're resting in Him. Both because the Holy Spirit is loving us and is merciful, and also that's the reward of a job well done all day, that we can take that pause and be with Him, be with ourselves, be with those we love, and have that comfort. Two very different experiences.
So our message to you, ladies and gentlemen, on this day is stop settling. The reality is our comfort zone is only comfortable if it helps us to rest and refresh, refocus, recharge, and move forward. But when we get stuck and we start settling in our problems, then we are not living a grace-filled life. Let us help you live that life God is calling you to by giving us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll help you get unstuck and find a more graceful way forward. 877-573-7825. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at what the theology of the body can teach us about our topic of the day. And today, TOB can teach us quite a bit, I think.
Even about living in inertia, or what we often think of as just our comfort zones, because we look at the theology of the body and we realize our natural tendency is to allow ourselves to be limited or even defined by the obstacles that we see in our path. When we feel stuck, the theology of the body reminds us to think of the big picture. In the face of an obstacle, instead of giving up, the Christian's job is to ask, how does God want me to respond to this? Instead of just assuming that the obstacle represents the limits of what we can accomplish, the theology of the body invites us to prayerfully reflect on what God wants to make of this situation by allowing Him to work through us.
So the theology of the body reminds us that we live in a tension between what it calls historical man and eschatological man. Now, that's a $10 way of saying that we're caught between the way things are and the world God is working to create in us and through us and with us. So now, obviously, there are lots of things that stand between how the world works and how God intends for it to work. And that's why Christians have to learn to see obstacles as opportunities for God's power to be revealed as we allow him to work in us and through us and with us. Sure, it's true that there are a lot of things that we cannot accomplish on our own. But as Scripture reminds us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, having this more eschatological, or to put it another way, spiritually solution-focused mindset that the theology of the body recommends allows us to imagine possibilities in the face of our obstacles. It allows us to hope for more than what the broken world and our own brokenness can allow us to imagine, and instead enables us to work to make our lives and relationships everything God wants them to be. So let's do that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. We'll take our concerns to the Lord and then start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for this opportunity to bring to you all of the things that we feel stuck about in our lives. Lord, so often we think that we're pursuing comfort, but what we're really doing is settling for less than you want to give us in our life and relationships. And so, Lord, we bring all those challenges, those problems, those obstacles, those difficulties to you, and we ask you now to teach us to respond to them in a way that will give you glory, in a way that will work for the best of everybody involved, and in a way that will help us be our best selves, so that in the face of these challenges, we can make grace-filled responses that enable us to live the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled life that you have called us all to. We ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom and the fortitude to stop being defined by our limitations, but to see those obstacles and limitations as an opportunity for you to show your power and your grace. Teach us to respond in graceful ways to the challenges before us, so that all can be amazed by what you can accomplish through even broken people like us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about breaking free of our comfort zone, specifically settling. You know, comfort's fine as long as it's helping us recharge, refocus, and re-energize and move forward. But when we start to settle into our misery or our unhappiness or unpleasant circumstances, that is not what God is calling us to. Let's talk about how to respond effectively, gracefully, and powerfully to those situations where God is calling us to change. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jessica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hi there, Jessica. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi there. The comfort zone, I think it's interesting to put it that way because it's like a discomfort comfort zone me and my siblings. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of layers to this issue, but specific to this topic, we have grown comfortable with kind of just going along with how our mom is, which is extremely pessimistic about everything. And also, she tends to gossip about everyone in the family to other people in the family and take everything very personally. And so we all kind of feel like we're walking on eggshells a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. We all have small children, too, and some specific examples of issues are babysitting, like if somebody lets a different member of the family babysit some kids instead of my mom, she takes it as like a personal attack, or it's just really anything. You never know in a conversation that you have, you can think that it goes well, and then you'll hear from another family member that she was personally attacked and wounded and hurt. And my dad and her have been on the rocks and trying to work on stuff and going to Retrovi and all this stuff that they're going to do. So they're working on things. Mm-hmm. But I feel also another layer of this is that he's becoming kind of more like that a little bit too, to get along with her. Like, if you really want to be on her like team or side, it's almost like you have to become like that.
I think I understand the situation. I mean, I have some thoughts about it, but I guess I'm just curious, what's your goal here? What would you like to see happen?
You know, we really want, I mean, we're all trying to raise our kids, obviously, to be with God, to be good people. And we want to help our mom too. Like, I think our big goal is to, one, like, not help her sink further down into what we all think is really destructive. Mm-hmm. So, like, to support her and help her, like, become more happy, but to not compromise the truth and what's right in to do so.
Okay.
And, like, we want to be happy and everything, but it's, like, I feel so often, like, I really don't know how to do it.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. And the other thing, of course, if you challenge her on any of this, she probably takes that as a personal attack as well, correct?
Yes. Like, okay. It's so hard to directly bring any of this up.
Okay. So here's what I want you to know, first off, and then I'll give you some thoughts about how to handle it. Well, two things you need to know up front. First of all, you're not going to be able to challenge her in any way that she's going to like, okay? So you're going to have to kind of wrap your head around the idea that she's going to push back against anything that you do. But that, just because she's pushing back, doesn't mean that you're doing the wrong thing. You just need to be aware that that's going to happen, because sometimes when you're working for somebody's good, they don't like it. But that's still the loving thing to do. You know, we got to work for mom's good, even if she doesn't want us to, because that's what love means. Now, the second thing I want to say about this up front is that your mom's love language is misery.
That sounds so crazy, doesn't it? How can anybody feel loved if their love language is misery? It's not listed in any of the love languages.
One of the reasons I don't like the whole love language thing is because there's so many more love languages.
Yes, and nobody thinks of this one as a love language, but it is for a lot of people.
Misery is a love language, and that mom complains about everything and everybody so that you'll say, "Oh, mom, I'm so sorry that you're having to go. That's so awful that they treated you that way. That's so terrible." That your mom's love language is victimhood.
And on top of it, you've all been programmed by her now to feel like anytime you're around her, you're literally walking through an emotional landmine field where, you know, we just have to say the right thing and handle it the right way. We can't be too happy. We can't be too optimistic. We can't challenge her on this because then she won't be calm. And it's just programming the whole family to orbit around her all the time, and so it draws in attention to her.
Which explains why it's so hard for her to accept correction on this, right? Because correcting her on this means you don't love her, right? If her love language is victimhood and misery, if you tell her she's not a victim and you try to tell her she shouldn't be miserable, what she's hearing is, you don't love me, okay? So now, that's really sad. So does that mean that you should just indulge the victimhood and misery mindset? No, absolutely not. What it means is that she needs to learn what it means to be loved authentically and really. And that's going to be a little bit hard for her to take at first. At first, she's going to fight back. She's going to push back. But you need to be resistant to that pushing back and really kind of press on and let her know that there are better ways to be loved. Now, how do you do that? When she's complaining to you about something, you can empathize with her. You say, "Mom, I'm really sorry that you're going through that." And then you say, "What would you like to do about it? How do you think you need to handle that? Because it sounds to me like that's a problem that you need to address."
Now, that is the big changeover. It's not just always empathizing with her or always kowtowing to her pessimism.
Don't try to talk her out of it.
Exactly. And it's not trying to come up with solutions for her.
Or even tell her that things aren't so as bad as she thinks. You empathize and then say, "So what do you want to do about that? And who do you need to talk to about that? Where do you need to, what resources do you need to address that?" You put it back in her lap and make her deal with it. If she's complaining about somebody in the family, your job is to say, "You know, you really need to go talk to that person about it, not to me. I'm not really interested in the gossip, but I would help you. I'd be happy to help you figure out how to say it to them, but you need to go talk to them about it."
And if it's possible, Jessica, because you're saying that you and your siblings are all sharing this frustration, talk to them about this and come up with that plan. So the minute she gets off the phone with you and you think it's fine, but then she goes and talks to your sister or your brother about it, you're all singing from the same sheet music, right? They're saying, "Gee, Mom, that's really rough. You really need to go talk to Jessica about that." Or you're saying that about one of your siblings. So you all are telling her the same thing. What do you want to do about it? And do it with the person you're complaining about.
The last point is, if when she says, I don't know what to do about it, then you can say, well, that's really something you should be talking about with your marriage counselor. Assuming she is, you said your
husband. That they're in counseling and Retrovi, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, or if she's not, then that's something you should really be talking about with a counselor. Would you like me to help you find somebody to talk to? You know, and then again, she's going to be upset about all of these things because in her mind, what she's hearing is, you don't love me. But what she needs to learn is a healthier way to give and receive love, other than being stuck in this victim and misery mindset. Jessica, we do talk more about this in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book about how to set charitable limits that insulate you from the drama, but invite the Holy Spirit to actually heal the relationship. Again, the book is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for the call. I hope these tips will help. And if there's more that we can do for you, once you try these things out, don't hesitate to reach out to us again and let us know how it's going and what more we can do for you. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about those places where you just feel like maybe you're settling a little bit in your life or relationships, where you or someone you care about is stuck and you need to break free of that bubble of uncomfortable comfort. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's going to be sharing some insights about how to break free of that stifling comfort zone bubble that we tend to get stuck in. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we're talking about getting unstuck and how to stop settling on our show titled The Comfort Zone Challenge. Joining us right now, Jacob Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's also an award-winning artist and illustrator. He just recently won a Catholic Press Association Award for Best Magazine Cover Illustration. And you can check out his work at ArtSoulAndMind.com. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks much for having me.
So let's talk about this whole idea of breaking free of our comfort zone. It sounds a little scary. How do we motivate ourselves to do it, and then why should we?
Well, I think there are lots of safe and strategic ways to practice kind of pushing the envelope on our own comfort zone. I want to touch on one of those today. But as far as the second part of your question, why should we do it? You know, the fact is our comfort zones are really something that exist to transcend. You know, when we as Catholics talk about death to self, when we in psychology talk about death to self, because that is a that is not a mutually exclusive term, you know, what we're really talking about is, you know, crucifying, so to speak, those boundaries and limits that stop us from being fully connected in relationship and intimacy with the community that's really meant to bring us both holiness and mental health. So
if I'm understanding you, if our comfort stops us from achieving greater intimacy or connection with others, then we need to look hard at that and see what whether we need to break
exactly.
through that.
And I think inevitably it does. You know, whether or not we think it does, anyone listening right now has a comfort zone. I have a comfort zone. And insofar as I have that comfort zone, it does actually limit me to some degree from engaging with others. And so it's my job to respectfully but strategically challenge that comfort zone so I can grow into greater intimacy with others, with my truest self, and of course with God.
So I guess, you know, what you're kind of pointing at here is the Catholic need to find the truth and the goodness and the beauty at the center of other people's experience and try to see what's true and good and beautiful about the things that they think are true and good and beautiful.
Right. Yeah, that's actually exactly the practice that I wanted to touch on today. You know, all the time we encounter interests, activities, premises that we just find irreconcilable with our own personalities. And I think one of the great kind of devotional spiritual exercises we can do to actually increase in that Christ-like diminishment of comfort zone for the sake of intimacy is to actively and intentionally seek to find the kind of true, good, and beautiful tiniest babushka doll, if you will, in the several babushka dolls of maybe not so great that we might otherwise observe in the activities and interests of others. If we can push ourselves, for instance, to find that truth and goodness and beauty in that song that we hate that our friend always listens to, or that movie that our kid is interested in seeing that we just find detestable, or whatever it is, if we can find that truth, good, and beauty and honor it and even exemplify it.
That enables us to make connection. I got to jump in because we got to go to break. Thanks for being with us. Learn more about Jacob's work at CatholicCounselors.com.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. You may have heard the phrase, the family who prays together stays together. But you may not know that this is backed up by significant research. Based on hundreds of studies, couples who pray together tend to be 15 to 20% happier than couples who don't. In fact, the more often you pray together, the happier you'll be.
In one study, couples who said they pray together a lot were 30% more likely to endorse a positive statement about their spouse. Making God a regular, important part of your marriage relationship will help you have a more intimate, healthy, faithful marriage. And committing to prayer as a couple will enable you to show the world that the love that God shows you is possible. So today, ask your spouse to pray with you. And remember, God wants to change the world through your marriage. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Our show today is titled The Comfort Zone Challenge. And what we're really talking about is not making yourself uncomfortable. It's stop being comfortable in your discomfort. Right? You know, we get into those places in our relationship, in our life, where we just are used to dealing with certain problems or certain ways that people treat us or the certain ways that things are. And we know it's not good for us. We know it's not what God wants for us. But sometimes we just don't know where to start. Sometimes we feel like it's too big, or it's been around for so long, it's never going to change, so why bother? And all of those messages are from the enemy, who is trying to stop us from leading more grace-filled, godly, whole and healed lives. And so we want to help you break out of the discomfort comfort zone and start living the life that God has for you. So if you are stuck in a rut in some area of your life or relationships, if you feel like you need to make a change, address a problem, resolve a conflict, but you don't know where to start, or if you care about somebody who seems stuck and you're not sure how to support them, let's work together to find some ways to lead more graceful lives. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sergio, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hi, Sergio. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Yes, so my wife and I have been together for 15 years, married for 5, and we both have been diagnosed with infertility. And it has been a really difficult situation for us, especially for my wife, because she's a woman and she wants to experience the full effect of pregnancy, and that's been her dream all her life, and it was really a dream breaker for her. For me, I have resigned, and I am open to any other form of parenting, through adoption, foster parenting, or any of the such. But for her, she's still grieving. She's still attached to the idea of becoming a mother, and it's really hard for me to help her at times. I've caught her crying and during the night, and it's just really difficult to see her suffer like this, and I'm not sure how to support her because she's willing to go through the IVF method, and I am not, mainly because it's contradictory to Catholic teaching, and it's really difficult. I am.
And how does she feel about that? I'm sorry. So are you guys? I mean, I know. Is it more that she's just tempted, or is she tends to believe what the church teaches but struggles with it, or is it she's really opposed to that? And it kind of helped me understand where you guys are at there.
Yeah, for her, it's mainly she sort of disagrees with the IVF concept because she, in her mind, God's grace would work through the fertilization of the embryo. And in her heart, she believes it's something correct. And she's aware of everything, of the unfairness of the in vitro fertilization due to multiple embryos being fertilized, and that's human life. And so it's really difficult if we only want to have one child, and let's say 5 are fertilized, you know, what do you do with the other 4 if you only want one?
So she has a cognitive understanding of the church's teaching on why this isn't a good thing to do, but she's just really fighting with her desire at this point and what she feels is on her heart. Okay, and I have to ask you this, Sergio. Are you two praying daily together about this?
No, not daily.
When you say not lately, did you?
No, he said not daily. So what's your prayer life like on this situation together?
Not existent, honestly, and maybe just individually, mainly because it's a hard topic. And
yeah.
Have you ever prayed about it together?
Yeah, we have.
Can you tell me more about how that goes?
For her, it's almost like she's losing faith. It's almost like...
No, but like when you pray about it together, how do you pray?
We get together and we mention it out loud and we kind of hold hands and just bring it to the Lord. And that's really, in general, how it goes.
Okay. So, and that's a good start. I want to give you a couple of things. First of all, on how to pray about this. And why we want to start here is because I can tell you from our own personal experience with infertility, and in the early part of our marriage, we had doctors tell us that we should never get pregnant because there was a serious illness to contend with, but there was still a desire there for children.
I was exactly in the place of your wife, not in terms of the IVF struggle, but in terms of the crying in the night, you know, feeling like God was saying that, you know, I was meant to be a mother, but dealing with these physical blocks to it. So my heart just breaks for both of you, and I understand the pain that your wife is going through for sure.
That said, dealing with our own experience, and as a counselor, dealing with lots of other couples and individuals who have longed for something and it seems to have been deprived of them or taken from them, I can tell you that if that desire stays on your heart when you pray about it, God wants to fulfill it in some way, that he has an amazing plan for you and your family. But you have to ask him what he wants you to make of this and to teach you how to respond to this. And that has got to be a daily prayer. God wants to use this struggle that you are going through for two ends. One, most importantly, to draw you closer to him and to each other through it. And secondly, to teach you to grow in ways that you wouldn't grow if it wasn't for this struggle, to get to where you need to be, where he wants you to be, to fulfill this desire, this ache in your heart. And so the only way to figure out how to respond to this in a way that will satisfy you is to go to God every day together and really talk to him about your pain, yell at him, scream at him, beat on his chest, tell him how disappointed you are, how frustrated you are, how angry you are, how confused you are, how it doesn't make sense that this desire would be on your hearts if he's not going to fulfill it. Where is he? What is he doing? And to do that every day, I know that sounds agonizing, but I can tell you the one thing that's even more agonizing than doing this is not doing it.
Yeah, is staying away from him. And, you know, Sergio, you said, how can you comfort your wife? Leading her through daily prayer about this, even if you feel like I can't bring this up again, it's just hurting her more. No, you're bringing her to God. You're saying, honey, we're both stuck. I can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Only God can lead us into why he's given you such a strong desire for this, and it seems to be unfulfilled. God has a plan. He loves us, but we need to take this to him every day. And even if she gets angry and says, I can't pray to this God anymore, I'm angry at him, then you lead it and you just say, Lord, she's so angry at you, but I know you love her. Break through her anger. Show us what you want us to do. Show us the steps you want us to take. Show us your love and mercy.
Help me be
this.
The husband she needs me to be, the godly man that can help her through this time. Help us be the couple you want us to be through this. Help us to hear what you're saying to us and show us where you want us to go, Lord, because we know that as we pray and this desire stays on our hearts, we know that you have a plan for us, but we don't know what it is and don't know how to respond. Teach us, Lord, how to respond to this. That's the way I want you to pray about it. Don't just give it to him. Ask him to teach you how to respond to this in a way that draws you closer to him, to each other, and to the plan that he has for fulfilling the desires of your hearts. Now, if you're struggling with the language of this or you're not sure how to do it consistently, we walk you through it in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse. Especially check out the chapters on dealing with conflict, because you guys aren't in the same place, on praying for discernment as a couple. We have ways to do all of that, to invite God into every part of your relationship, even the most painful parts. And I think that it will really be a blessing to you if you use the formats we talk about in that book on praying through this. That's praying for and with your spouse, the way to deeper love. Another resource I want to give you, all right, is the St. Paul VI Institute. You can find it at popepaulvi.com. They are the International Home of Fertility Care and NAPRO Technology, which are Catholic, ethical, and effective Catholic ethical and effective treatments for a host of fertility problems, including infertility. You can learn more about their national center as well as their national network of referrals to physicians who are trained in this method that is very successful in treating the underlying causes of infertility and not just the symptoms.
So if you haven't been through St. Paul the Sixth Institute yet, I strongly encourage you, even if you've had a million doctors say, oh, this is, you know, irreparable, there's nothing we can do. If you haven't worked with them yet, I strongly encourage you to check in with them because they know so much more than traditional doctors do.
And they also are now doing telemedicine, so they're more available than ever before. Yeah. So go to Pope Paul VI. That's PopePaulVI.com. In addition to these last two suggestions, if you find that as you try to pray about it, as you try to seek faithful responses to this, this leads to greater conflict in the relationship, I'm going to encourage you to seek good, faithful marital counseling just to support you guys through this, because one of the biggest factors in successfully negotiating infertility is the couple feeling like they're on the same page with each other. When they don't feel that way, then that's when you start seeing risks of divorce and depression and all kinds of other problems. So if you find that these approaches that we're suggesting, you know, are leading to more conflict in the relationship, please seek faithful counseling help sooner than later. And we can assist you with that at CatholicCounselors.com if you like. But start with these first two resources, praying for and with your spouse, which you can pick up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Learn more about the Pope Paul VI Institute at PopePaulVI.com. In fact, go there right after you hang up from us. And if there is more that we can do to support you in your marriage through this, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for more resources. Sergio, thank you so much for being a faithful, godly man who wants to support and love his wife through this challenge and be in this together with her. We are so grateful for men like you, and we will add you and your wife to our More to Life prayer list, that God would draw you closer to him and each other through this struggle and ultimately show you the plan that will satisfy the desires of your heart through all of this. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about getting unstuck, about how to stop settling and break free of that uncomfortable comfort zone we sometimes find ourselves trapped in. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll help you through it. Right now, as we go to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians 4:13, an oldie but a goodie.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Again, that's Philippians 4:13, and it means exactly what we were just saying to Sergio, and it matters. We can do things, but we have to do it with and through him who strengthens us, through God, because it's a cooperation between us. It's a co-creation with God when he asks us to do something. And if he's put you here on this planet, he's asked you to do something. And so if we try to do it all by ourselves and say, look, God, I'll impress you, I'll bring all my works to you, it's not going to work. But
Or even if we say, you know, Lord, you're not coming through, so I'm going to figure this out for myself.
True.
Right?
Or if we just say, well, I'm praying and praying and praying, but I'm never getting off my rear and getting anything done, well, then we're not creating with him. We're just waiting. And, you know, it doesn't work if we wait for a bus in our house, right? We have to go to the bus stop. So we have to count on God, but work with him. And that's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen. But again, it's not, you don't have to do it yourself. In fact, don't try to do it yourself. Trust that God will teach you what to do if you ask him to teach you what to do, to respond to the desires of your heart, whatever they might be. 877-573-7825. We're going to help you get unstuck today on our show titled Comfort Zone Challenge, where we are helping to challenge the tendency to get comfortable in our discomfort. If you're ready to get unstuck and find a more graceful, productive, positive life, let's help you get there. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. Learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we're talking about, well, the comfort zone challenge. How do we break free of the tendency to become comfortable in our discomfort? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Jan, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, thank you. I have a situation of jealousy between my children and I think anger of the kids towards us. We typically take a family vacation. We have five children. They're all married. They have families. Three of the five are going down south for a vacation for a full week. The other two couldn't do that because of other commitments. We're recently retired. I nearly died of COVID in December.
I'm sorry, who died of COVID in December?
I nearly died of COVID.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm so glad that you're here with us. So that sort of pushed you toward retirement. So it's been since then. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it has. Okay. And so then three will go with us on one-week vacation. And the other two, I asked my husband, could we take the other two families someplace short, like 4 days, 3 nights. And of course, we planned that. The other two are very happy about that. They weren't expecting it. It was lovely. Well, the three who are going on the big vacation are angry. I mean, I'm so ashamed of all this. It just caught me by surprise.
Oh, sweetie.
But they're angry that we're taking the other two. They say you're taking the A team on vacation, who's going on the shorter vacation. And they don't seem, I just green-eyed jealousy, and I said, it's our decision. We can, we can do what we want. And they don't seem to want to retract their position. They don't see it as wrong. And I've talked to, the three families. Nobody wants to retract that. I'm angry, and I don't want to be passive and just let this ride. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah, so how have you tried to address it so far? What have you said?
My daughter said, I hear you taking the A team. And I said, I don't know what you mean. And I said, it's our prerogative to take. You guys are going on this one. Our prerogative. We're providing the place. And they just don't see it that way. Well, so-and-so is going to be jealous and, why didn't you tell us about it beforehand?
Is this a long-term rivalry thing, or is this just rearing its head now?
I think it's long term. You know, I think they all get along, but I think the problem is there's like a passiveness, and it can't be resolved, you know, sort of face to face. So I don't know what to do about it. I really don't.
Well, all right. So I want you to say, look, this isn't about the trip, right? This is a long-standing thing. For them to call them the A team.
Yeah, you know,
that's just a long-standing split in their sibling relationship here. For some reason,
that's a real teller.
They think that you like the other two better for some reason, and I think you need to address that head on and say, look, this isn't about the trip. This is about you thinking that they're the A team for some reason,
I'm going to be honest, Jen. Even if you do like the other two better, you know, you still love the other three, and you want to spend time with all of them. And this isn't about, you know, that kind of, it's about having an individual relationship with each of them and loving them for who they are. And sure, sometimes we get along a little better with one kid than we do for another kid, or that changes in seasons, but it's about their relationship with you, and they shouldn't be driving a wedge between the mom they just lost and themselves, or almost just lost, that, you know, that they could have just lost, forgive my misstep there, and themselves, because of some crazy rivalry that's lasted their whole lives. And they need to see that they're putting a wedge between you and them rather than endearing themselves to you and enjoying the time they're going
to
have with
you. So I would
say
to them, look, I refuse to argue with you about this trip. You know, you guys went with us and this thing, we're going on this other trip with them. This is really about this longstanding sense that you're somehow the B team. And I don't know what we need to do to get past that, but we need to work through that, because I'm not going to allow this to tear apart our family. And it's childish for you to be stuck in that place, but I love you enough to want to work through it with you. So let's figure this out, because I don't want to hear any more of this A team, B team nonsense. So what do we need to do to fix this in our family, not just about this trip? And if you're able to reframe it in that bigger context, I think that will be more productive then. At the very least, you'll be focusing on what you need to be focusing on in the larger split in the family.
But I think you're absolutely 100% right. You know, you've had a time of real clarity here, where you are now have been given a second chance at restarting your life with your kids and your spouse. And you're allowed to draw some heavy-duty boundaries and rules around this and say, you know what, this is my life too, and I'm not going to be pulled back and forth like a rope between two groups of my children. I want a great relationship with each of you. What are you going to do to help it be that?
Well, and I'd also throw, I mean, I don't have a problem playing the big card here, saying you guys almost lost me this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I'm not going to go out of this world thinking that my family's going to tear each other apart when they're gone. So I need you to help me figure out how to solve this rift, because I'm not going to die thinking that you guys are all just going to start hating on each other because I'm not here to hold it all together. So what do we need to do to fix this now? You know, so play the big card.
Yeah, it's perfectly reasonable, too. God is making you aware of a problem in your family that we see happen time and time again, especially right here on More to Life. People will call in and say the minute mom or dad died or both parents died, all the siblings fell apart and they're now killing each other. You've been given a chance to say, look, guys, you know, this is going to happen one day, hopefully 40 years, 50 years from now, but you guys need to heal these relationships now so that you don't completely fall apart. And I want to enjoy each one of you now. So how can we heal these relationships? And how can each one of you really reach out to me to help us each have a great relationship?
Jen, thanks so much for the call. We'll certainly add your family to our More to Life prayer list. But again, you know, this is really not about the trips. This is about that longstanding underlying, as you said, passive rift. And addressing that head on is really the best way to go.
But I want to say to anybody who's listening and say, this sounds kind of familiar in some way, sometimes God allows us to have wake-up calls so we can wake up and change things. And it's not okay to have that moment and then just say, oh, well, it's hard to do, or, oh, they'll never change, or whatever excuse Satan wants us to make. We have to say, all right, Lord, you've given me a new awareness. Now what can I do about it?
And look, the last thing here, if you try this and it still either blows up or makes it worse or you get stuck, family counseling is still an option, even mm-hmm. though your kids are grown. You know,
especially in a day of virtual family counseling where everybody can live in a different place but be on the same Zoom call and work things out. out.
So if you need professional help to get through this, once you try these initial steps, you know, we're here for you, or you can work with somebody local that you like. But don't feel like you have to do it all by yourself. All right. So take these first steps and then either give us a call back here or reach out to somebody who can help you mediate the rest of it. But there's definitely a way through this, Jen. Thanks
but
so much,
Jen,
for the
call. We are thrilled that you are here. God bless you, and may you be completely healthy.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for joining us. And we just want to leave you with the challenge to break free of that comfort zone if, in fact, it's not been feeling so comfortable lately. Comfort zones are fine as long as they're helping us recharge, make a plan, and move forward. But they're not so great when we feel like we're settling and we're stuck. That is not God's plan for your life. So learn more about breaking free of those uncomfortable comfort zones by checking out all the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out our books and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice. All the information is there at CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.